Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here with you this evening. Now, earlier this week, the UK newspaper The Telegraph reported that AirAsia and its long-haul arm AirAsia X were among those who allegedly received bribes from airliner manufacturer Airbus. Now, court documents allegedly mentioned two unnamed executives at AirAsia and AirAsia X as being among those who allegedly received bribes from Airbus in order to secure contracts. Now, to discuss this further, we have joining us on the line P. Gunasegaram. He is the editor-in-chief of Focus Malaysia. Guna, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, Focus Malaysia has done a lot of coverage on the Airbus corruption investigation. Can you help us establish the facts of what we know so far of this case?
I think basically what was reported was from court settlement. So this was a settlement that Airbus made with the Serious Fraud Office of the UK. So from that settlement, they admit basically that they paid bribes to who are called AirAsia Official 1 and AirAsia Official 2. So these are the two people that they paid, although they don't name them. And they allege in it is alleged in that court document that this was the payment that was made was US 50 million, which will be about Malaysian ringgit 204 million. So this is in effect an admission by Airbus that they paid a bribe to AirAsia officials. So the reports further say that the people who are involved, that the sports company which is involved is Caterham, the F1 racing group, which used to carry an Airbus logo in the racing livery. So the two top officials, executives and owners of AirAsia, which is Dato' Kamarudin Maranun and Tan Sri Tony Fernandez, are jointly owners of Caterham, and because they are known to be owners, it has, the payment has been linked directly to them.
Gunnar, I just want to ask you if this admission amounts to proof. I mean, if and the legal implications of such, meaning will other investigation bodies like the MACC have to actually establish proof beyond the admissions of Airbus in order to prosecute this case?
Most likely, in terms of prosecution, yes, you have to establish the proof. But as far as the settlement is concerned, Airbus has admitted that they paid a bribe in this instance. So that is their admission, you know, following which was the settlement. Of course, we need to mention that it involves many other airlines and organizations. So the total settlement that Airbus pays is of the order of 4 billion euros, which is a lot of money.
I want to talk about the international nature of the case, Guna. So it started, as you said, with the UK Serious Fraud Office, the SFO, but subsequently there was also a Malaysian response, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, as well as I believe MAFCOM is now in the picture. Can you talk a little bit about the stakeholders and how this became from an international case to now the more local context?
Basically, MACC itself has said that even if it is corruption case which involves Malaysians overseas, then they can take action. The MAFCOM could be from a regulatory point of view to see whether airline operators have been doing things according to the law. The other investigating authority is the Securities Commission, which has already pointed out that if a director does not act in the interest of the company, that is an offence under Malaysian law. I think particularly the Companies and Markets Act, you know. So that is where they are coming from.
How high is the bar, Guna, when it comes to corporate governance in this country? Issues like acting in the best interest is an expression that seems at the face of it quite simple, but could be quite complicated. You might say getting a consignment of Airbus planes would be still in the interest of the company, even though you've accepted money, say, to support the football team. I mean, if that was the kind of fictional scenario, as it were.
I think the reference is to the F1 team, Catan, rather than the football team. No, they also own the QPR Rangers, I believe. But in this case here, the Airbus has admitted that they actually gave what tantamount to a bribe. So the whole process has got to be established on a legal basis by other investigators. I presume that is what needs to be done. But in the meantime, both of them have stepped down from the executive positions on the board. They are respectively, Kamaruddin is the executive chairman of Airbus, while Tony Fernandes is the CEO. And they are the only executive directors on the board. All of the others are non-executive directors. And out of the five remaining, four are actually independent directors and one non-independent director.
Right.
So these non-executive directors are supposed to be, according to the procedure, convening an inquiry into this whole thing. And that will be the first line of inquiry from the point of view of AirAsia itself. But then there is also the MACC investigation and then the SC investigation and the Aviation Commission, MAFCOM's own investigation. So it may be a lengthy period of time before we get outcomes.
Has cases like this happened before in corporate Malaysia? I mean, do you see parallels in this case to other lessons learned within corporate Malaysia, Guna?
As far as I can see, as far as I can remember, I'm not absolutely sure, there has been no such case involving Malaysian companies so far. Although there has been some mention of Rolls-Royce, before where the Rolls-Royce also paid a compensation. And they had I believe, sold the engine to AirAsia at that time, but nothing came out of that. But in this case here, the difference is that the board is looking into it in a big way, and so are the three other regulatory bodies.
Guna, what are the implications for AirAsia as a company? We've seen movements in the stock market, but also what about that bid for Malaysian Airlines? What do you see as the likely scenarios going forward for the company as a consequence of what will be the ongoing investigations?
All right, I think there can be maybe two broad outcomes from this. One is that it is established that Airbus was correct when they said that they paid bribes to AirAsia officials. So in that case, then there will be further questions which arise as to what will happen to AirAsia and its major and its significant shareholders, who are both Kamaruddin and Tony Fernandes. So that is it opens up a huge number of questions as far as that is concerned. Will they continue? What will happen to their stake? Will there be a new management in AirAsia and so on? So there is a fair amount of uncertainty as far as that is concerned. If that happens, then it opens up the question of whether AirAsia can sue Airbus for redress, because in that case, Airbus would have induced their officials to engage in corruption, and as a result, AirAsia may be able to prove that they incurred losses from that, and therefore they can claim for damages from Airbus. I mean, Airbus is paying huge amounts in penalties, so it is possible that AirAsia can get a fair amount of money from that. But if all four investigating authorities, the board of AirAsia, MACC, SC, and MAFCOM, they all find that there was nothing untoward, then it's business as usual after that.
You know, Guna, I just want to point out that you, as Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, Focus Malaysia has done a lot of coverage on Malaysia Airlines as well as this case on AirAsia. Now, just briefly, tell us about the sensitivities of reporting on such a big case with all eyes on what will happen next with AirAsia.
All right. The second one, which we reported, is the on the court documents itself. So the reports on that were basically based on the court documents, which is public, and anyone can go into the SFO, which is the Serious Fraud Office website, and download the document, and you can report from there. So, I mean, we wanted to report it from the Malaysian point of view, and the only Malaysian company which was mentioned there was AirAsia. You know, the previous one is when we reported on the bids on the table for Malaysia Airlines, which included AirAsia as well, isn't it? So these are from documents which we cited and which were, as far as I know, was cited only by us at that point of time. And our reporter who looked at that, Emmanuel, so he wrote a series of articles on that. You know. So they are actually two separate issues in this case.
Right, the Malaysia Airlines issue as well as the AirAsia issue. Well, Gunnar, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight and sharing your insights. Now we're going to take a quick break on Consider This. We'll be back with more, so don't go anywhere.